Welcome to the Sermon Podcast, the First Christian Church of St. Paul, located in Roseville, Minnesota. We are a congregation of Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, a congregation that is united in Christ for the sake of the world. Join us for worship in person or via our live stream, Sundays at 11 a.m. You can learn more about us by going to fccstpaul.org. Here is this week's sermon. Passage for today comes from the first chapter of the book of Acts, verses 6 through 14. So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, is this a time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, they were gazing up toward heaven. Suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way you saw him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying: Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. All these were constantly devoted themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. This is the word of God for all the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. They kept looking up. They kept looking up at their friend, Jesus, as he was lifted up into the sky. And they kept looking up as the cloud obscured the view of Jesus. And they kept looking up as they could see nothing but the clear blue sky. Jesus was gone. Someone that they had knew for years, someone that they saw die and then strangely come back to life, was now gone again. I have to think that maybe at least some of the disciples wondered, maybe Jesus was going to come back shortly. After all, he died and somehow returned, so maybe this is just a short stay up there and he'll come back. And then all of a sudden they see these two men dressed in white, and they have this quizzical look on their face, and they tell the disciples, "Why do you keep looking up into an empty sky? You see Jesus going up, but Jesus will return, so don't worry. This isn't the end." Whenever that we read this passage, we read it thinking that we know the story. We know that the disciples will receive the Holy Spirit. We know who Jesus is, really, in a way that the disciples don't. And when we do that, I think we miss out really on what this passage is telling us. Because I think we need to see it through the disciples' eyes. Because it has so much to tell us about how we live today. How we feel today, and also what God in Jesus is calling us to do. When I read this passage, what came to mind to me was anxiety. And anxiety is something that I am very familiar with, because I have dealt with anxiety most of my life. I've always been an anxious kid. And thankfully, I have had therapy and medication that has taken some of the edge off of my anxious soul. Doesn't remove it, but it's at least controllable. And the disciples were anxious. Anxiety is about an unease. It's an unease about the future. Or as the former pastor Curtis Chang has said, anxiety is about a future loss. The disciples had already lost Jesus. Now they were losing him again. And now they didn't know what was going to happen. What was going to happen to them? Why was Jesus leaving them again? Was he coming back? Was he never coming back? As I said, I deal with a lot of anxiety, and that also comes with the job of being a pastor. As a pastor, I am anxious about the people that were once part of this community in many various ways that are no longer here. I'm anxious about the future of the congregation. I'm anxious about not doing enough with the people who are here. But I'm not the only one that deals with anxiety. Many of you deal with anxiety. I know many people are anxious about work. You're anxious about finances. You're anxious about your family. You're anxious about your children and grandchildren, and you're anxious about even your marriages. And let's not forget that we've all went through a time when we were anxious about dying as we dealt with COVID. And we're anxious about politics. I don't know how many times I've heard someone say that basically, if X party wins, our side will lose everything. We live in an anxious time. The ascension of Jesus for the disciples was a loss. They lost their friend, and they might have even lost a sense of hope. Some believed, as one of them said early in this passage, that Jesus was going to restore Israel to its rightful place among the nations and kick out the Romans. And now it doesn't seem that that's going to happen. But while the disciples first saw the ascension really as a loss of hope, the ascension really is about hope. They didn't see it then, but it was the beginning of hope. Jesus knows of their anxiety. He knows in that question that they asked about restoring Israel, they were anxious. And he tells them basically, this is all in God's hands. He tells them to wait for the Holy Spirit, who will allow them to be witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and throughout the entire world. The two angels tell them that even though they are experiencing a real loss at this time, Jesus will return. They feel lost now, but it is not the end. After they hear the message from the angels, what did the disciples do? They headed back to Jerusalem, and they spent time in prayer. And this also gives us a clue of how we deal with anxious times. In our own anxiety, and I'm not precluding things like therapy or medication, but as people of faith, in our own anxiety, we also go to God in prayer. Not to take away our anxiety, but to live through it and to know that in Christ, even though we have anxiety, we are not alone. And we also pray for the Holy Spirit to empower us. Unlike the disciples, we're not waiting for the Holy Spirit because the Spirit is already here. We allow the Spirit to work through us to be God's witnesses in our neighborhoods and around the world. In fact, that's also one of the things that fills me with anxiety, is how to reach out to the wider community. How do we connect? We know that there are people who are looking for a church like this, but how do we tell them? I've been told that our church, all churches, have some kind of specific mission or ministry in the church, and that we are to go and to try to find that. And that causes a lot of anxiety because you're still trying to figure out, what does that mean? What is it? And so we get involved as a church in activities to find something, anything that can kind of maybe be a selling point of who we are, and to show that we are alive and useful. But I think in this story of ascension, there is also something there to learn, and that is to wait. And that seems contradictory, to wait on God's actions, because it seems, because waiting, at least speaking of one who has dealt with anxiety, can make you anxious. That's hard. And the thing is, we don't want to be anxious, so we throw ourselves into activity because that's a way of avoiding anxiety. But the thing is that we are going to be anxious, and we wait knowing in hope. We wait knowing that God will act in our world. And we wait to see God acting in our lives and in the world. Jesus doesn't remove our anxiety. That's not going to happen. The disciples' anxiety was not removed, and Jesus is not going to get rid magically of the knots that are in our stomach. To be anxious is to be human. The trick is how we respond to it. What this passage tells us is that Jesus brings hope. The biggest hope is the hope that remains unspoken in this passage, but it's there. The fact that Jesus was resurrected. The disciples were standing in front of the risen Christ. This was the guy that was dead and somehow is now alive. And as I said back on Easter, the resurrection is about hope. And the darkness and the despair that we sometimes see and feel in our hearts and in the world is not the end of the story. On Friday, Tim Keller died at the age of 73 from pancreatic cancer. For those of you who don't know, he was a Presbyterian pastor. He planted a church in Manhattan that in the late 80s, it grew. He was able really to kind of draw people in at a time when people thought that you couldn't plant a church in New York City, and was able to plant a network and really become a witness into the church in the last few years. Last year, he was actually interviewed around the time of Easter, and he knew that he had cancer, and I think he was also aware that at some point that cancer was probably going to overtake him, that he was going to die. When he was asked about hope, he responds with the hope of the resurrection. And this is what he said This was in the New York Times. If the resurrection of Jesus Christ really happened, then ultimately God is going to put everything right. Suffering is going to go away. Evil is going to go away. Death is going to go away. Aging is going to go away. Pancreatic cancer is going to go away. Now, if the resurrection of Jesus Christ did not happen, then I guess all bets are off. But if it actually happened, then there's all the hope in the world. The resurrection is about hope. Ascension, the ascension of Jesus, is about hope. We live with anxiety, and we live in a time of anxiety as a church and as the world, but we are also witnesses of the Jesus Christ, of the risen Christ, who is with us in the midst of all the losses that we deal with and in the midst of all the uncertainties. We don't have to look up without hope. Like the disciples, we can move forward, knowing that Jesus will return. And in the meantime, we move one step at a time, even with our anxiety, moving forward to be Christ's witnesses here and now. That can be scary. That can fill you with anxiety. But we now have Christ's Spirit with us. And as Tim Keller said, because of the resurrection, there is all the hope in the world. Thanks be to God. Amen. We hope this week's sermon was nourishment for your soul. If you would like to listen to past sermons, watch past worship services, leave a prayer request, or get directions to our worship location, please visit our website at fccstpaul.org. May God be with you on your daily journey.